Öyle. Marka. It's not on yet.
You doing?
Ma'am?
How are you doing? Are you home yet?
Yes, ma'am, I'm home.
Okay.
I'm home and eating gumbo.
Yeah. I just had my veggie chili, so.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
Doing pretty good.
This can never seem to catch up, which bothers me. It seems to get worse instead of better.
Gotta push
not
through,
worse,
right?
More. That's how I should put it. More instead of worse, because it's not worse. It's just never ending.
How's Tony? Is he okay?
Oh, he's so-so. He doesn't have a lot of energy.
When does he go back to the doctor?
He had blood work yesterday, and he sees the doctor again Tuesday. I think it's the blood pressure medicine that's making him dizzy and weak. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. That's probably part of it. It definitely does that, that blood pressure medicine. May have to adjust it or change it, huh?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
If it is a blood pressure, they may have to change it or do something with it, right?
The last few times we've gone, we've talked to him about it, and he said, well, cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 72 hours for the medication to get out of your system or in your system. So he said, good evening.
Good evening. Randela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are starting on verse 427, is that correct? Verse 427.
But it might be 427.
Well, let's go 426 because that's where my page was at, but I thought we did. But we'll do it. Hashem Yehud Kut Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bit Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himu Leachta Leshem Yudhe Bavate The Yehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononeihu. Vaginei kach vasidei kadma'ei savan daha kadmakrivayin benaihu lekarbana yapachei viamrei Ashrei tivchar utkarev ushkon chatzerech chatzerecha inun v'kaimei alayhu amrei nisbe'a v'tuv beitecha kedosh hekalecha v'vatar mevarech asher Baruch Rav Tahachni so Bivrito Shel Abraham Avinu Binun Dekai Mai Alaihu Amre Yeshem Shechik Nistao Lavrit Wigomer The translation. This is why the pious men who lived here in earlier days, the grandfathers of these people, when they offered their sons to the sacrifice of circumcision, began by saying, "Blessed is the man whom you choose, and then causes to approach to you that he may dwell in your courts." Those who were present there said, "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of the holy place of your temple." After this, he would say the blessing, "Who sanctified us with his mitzvot and commanded us to initiate the child in the covenant of the patriarch Abraham." And those present responded, "Just as you have initiated him to the covenant." My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, my thought is that we're seeing a bit of the ritual. Well, I don't think we've actually seen that in the previous verses.
We haven't. This is the beginning of of what are the words of the blessings that are said.
You know, mine's a small cup. My mind goes to probably some weeks back about discussing about a father puts a spot of the blood on his son, ingested the blood of his son's circumcision. And every time we read sacrifice pertaining to this ritual, my mind goes back to how the blood is collected and then it's splattered on the altar at the four corners. Is that correct? Is that correct? And I'm wondering if that has something to do with how the sacrifices are performed and the blood and how it is used in of the temple. I'm still trying to reconcile.
Well, the circumcision ritual and the animal sacrifice rituals are very similar. When the temple was in existence, the circumcision was frequently done in the temple. It was a sacrifice.
Right.
And in all of the sacrifices, especially the animal sacrifices, there is blood that is sprinkled upon the altar. Now, what is the meaning of this? Will vary with each sacrifice and where the blood is sprinkled, which corners of the altar it gets sprinkled on varies with each sacrifice. Now today we don't do animal sacrifice, but it will be resurrected in the sense that when the third temple comes, there will be animal sacrifice again. At least that's the prophecies. But not everybody will need to bring animal sacrifices. But everyone will need the children that still come after the Mashiach. Those children will still need to be circumcised. Because the circumcision is removing the satan from the child.
Well, since the temple is no longer here and the Brit is done, our bodies are considered the temple, right? So I'm thinking that the drop of blood ingested is because it was done at the temple in the biblical time when the temple was standing, but now there's not. So our bodies are considered a temple, right?
Yes and no. The table that you eat off of is considered the altar. Your body's, the discussions about your body being a temple has to do with the putting in kosher food into your body.
Okay.
It's not saying that, that you're making an animal sacrifice with your body.
Well, okay, next question.
There is teaching where the body is considered a temple, but it's really more of the you need to prepare a space in your heart for Hashem. That's the temple that you're referring to.
Okay, well, maybe you need to tell me the description of this, the sacrifice, the word sacrifice coming up in this brit. What does it mean by sacrifice?
I'm not clear on the question. You're looking for the Hebrew word for sacrifice?
Well, I'm looking, you know, we in this teaching, we keep, the sacrifice keeps coming up about the brit. This is a sacrifice. So I need to, wanting to know what that means, I think through a description of that when it comes to the brit and the sacrifice. So I guess looking for a definition at this point in this teaching, what does that mean?
You're sacrificing part of your body. That's what it means. You're sacrificing the foreskin of the male organ, and that foreskin is the home of Satan. So when you remove the foreskin, you're removing the Satan. And this is the idea of what's being sacrificed.
Okay.
Now, all sacrifices have rituals. And that's what this verse is referring to. I'm not sure it's clear to you, Baka, so we don't need to go on till it is.
No, I'm just gonna keep processing, you know.
Okay. I understand.
Okay.
I kind of liken it to Abraham putting Isaac on the altar. I mean, we don't go that far to, you know, the foreskin, but it's symbolic of.
Well, you actually do, because the foreskin is buried by the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really being sacrificed.
And protection. Yeah.
Go ahead, Baka.
Now, that takes me to the how the animal that was a burnt offering, but ones that, you know, you took the skin off and you would take it outside the tent or the outside of the temple into the, and bury it, you know. You would take the animal out and bury it. And I guess that goes back to what Hannah was saying about Isaac and the foreskin being there.
I think it's just all tied in some kind of way. It's all related back to how the sacrifices are administered in the temple. And that's just the foreskin, you know, Satan, the whole bit. It's taken out, you know, of the Holy of Holies, of the holy area.
All of the rituals in Judaism relate to the sacrifices in the temple. We pray three times a day because we made communal sacrifices three times a day. We donate a half shekel to in the first of Nisan to buy the sacrifices, the animals that the community is sacrificing, so that it's purchased, it's by the community as a whole, not an individual.
Right.
So every ritual in Judaism is coming to replace a ritual, a sacrifice that was held in the temple. And the rabbis calculated the rituals based on what was the procedures to sacrifice in the temple. So should I go on, or should we stay here and discuss this? I'm going to ask Hannah first, because Malka has indicated that she just wanted to contemplate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if she hasn't been able to listen to the recordings, that may be because we've been on the circumcision for quite a while, you know. So
yeah,
that may be part of it.
Yeah, we started with the circumcision at 383, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 383, and we're in 426. And, you know, we're going to go to 474.
Okay.
So I'm remembering I was the oldest, you know, first girl, and had three brothers. And I remember burying the umbilical cord, and I'm wondering if that related to way back, you know, going from generation to generation. It started off being circumcision, and by the time the family got to be Catholic, maybe it changed, you know. I don't know.
That is possible. I'm not familiar with the ritual of burying the umbilical cord, only the burying the foreskin.
Well, I know my mother and dad did for both of, well, all three of my brothers. And the youngest one was 10. I was 10 when he was born, so I do remember.
Understand.
I was the only one born at home, though. The others were born in a clinic. I don't think we had the hospital at the time, or the doctor my mother went to was a doctor in a clinic. So that's all I remember, though, is burying that. It was about 9 days when the umbilical cord would fall. And
right.
So close to, you know, you see how things got changed through the generations as the family got away from, you know, from Judaism.
And today they don't bury any umbilical cord. They process it for the, what do they call them, the stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go on to the next verse?
I think so.
Brandy, I know you're there. Are you okay with what we're doing?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Verse 427. Kutani nan bekad meta levae barnash. Rachamin aleya uvatar alachara diti luki per bado bekad meta uvatar uvad kol chachal Yisrael yanan orcha dah nakti ranam vehake Shapir v'chazei l'kama'am. The translation. As we have learned, a person should ask for mercy for himself and then for another. As it is written, and he shall make an atonement for himself at first and afterward for all the congregation of Israel. We have chosen this path which is good and suitable for us. Therefore, the host of the celebration of the circumcision should at first recite verses to ask for mercy, and then those who are present recite after him. And my commentary is again with this pasuk as clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
With a statement, and he shall make an atonement for himself at first and afterwards for the congregation of Israel, is what the high priest does on Yom Kippur.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's where those verses are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying it's really a affiliating the Brit Milah, the sacrifice that's being made for the Brit Milah, with the sacrifice that's made in the Holy of Holies, connecting it to the two goats, because the high priest has to first atone for himself, then for his family, and then for the children of Israel. And we're taught when we're praying not to pray for ourselves.
Right. Well, I'm sure the father also feels the burden of having a child, knowing, you know, that he's going to be responsible for that child for quite a few years. And I think, you know, the awesomeness of parenthood.
Absolutely
true. You're
going
to want to ask for mercy.
Well, we have two more verses to go through, but we won't make it tonight, so.
Okay.
And our 7 o'clock class tonight is questions and answers. So hopefully we'll have a question. I think, Anna, you were planning to write out a question. Am I correct?
Well, I wanted you to explain Noah section 10. I understand 61, but it's 62, that I need some more explanation on. So that's Noah section 10. I just thought when I came into the room that we've already finished Noah, so I need to go check those notes. Maybe I had some notes when we went through on those particular verses.
Well, see what you can put together, and I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you.
So, shalom to all.
Shalom,
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.